Is enjoying the sunny weather of Southern California with his family. He wanted to remind you all that I'm not sure if last time he was here he passed out these cards. Did he? Yes, pastoral visitation cards. So if you are seeking a visit from your pastors, if you have a special concern, if you want to chat, if you need prayer, please fill these cards out. If you can speak to Juan, he has the cards. Juan will give you a card. You can write your information, your contact info there. Please put the best day and hour for a visit, and you will write also the special concern that you have for us. This morning, we are celebrating the commencement of the Advent season. So I'd like for all of us to open up our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We'll be reading our story and jumping into our message for the day. Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 8 to verse 20. And we'll read that. Luke 2, verses 8 to 20, and it says this way: "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." Let us pray. Father God, we are so grateful for another Sabbath. We are so grateful for this season in which we could remember you coming down to this earth as our Savior. Lord, as we dive into your word, we pray that Jesus can be lifted up and that we may be drawn closer to you. Amen. Have you ever found wisdom from an unlikely source, be it a person or a circumstance? Have you ever found like that lesson that you didn't know you needed from the most random of places? Sometimes it is with the unlikely things, the disregarded things, that lessons and wisdom is given to us. Consider the following: everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Mike Tyson, right? That it makes sense. When asked about his plan and going into the ring, this notorious knockout hero says, "Yeah, everyone has a plan until they get hit." And it makes sense in life too. Everyone has a plan for their future until someone gets sick and passes away. Everyone wants to arrive to work on time. They take the route, they put it in Google Maps, but then there's traffic, or they get a flat tire. There's a plan until something happens. Wisdom sometimes comes from the most unlikely of sources. I remember my time in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. That's where I did my undergraduate studies, there in Antillian, Adventist University. And there's a statue, You'll see it here of Pedro Albizu Campos, very famous Puerto Rican in history. There was a security guard working at this statue to protect it, right, from vandalism. And so there, as we're walking from one of the stores, grabbing food, coming back to the university, the security guard approached us, thinking that we were trying to do something to the statue, speaking to him about the burden of higher education, the burden of studying, being away from home, being away from my family. He gave me some wise advice. He told me, if you hold on to your piece of coal, right, the education that you're pursuing, long enough, eventually it will turn into a diamond. Security guard, Eric Morales, of no relation to me. But there he told me some wise words. On the brink of perhaps giving up on my education, going back home, calling it quits, he gave me encouragement, wisdom from an unlikely source. Our story this morning is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The Bible tells us a story of Advent. We know the story like the back of our hands, Christ coming into the world. But the manner in which he arrives is very unlikely. The Jews had awaited the promised Messiah, the Savior who would liberate them from subjugation and oppression. And so those who were awaiting were waiting and looking forward to a conquering king. Yet Jesus came as a babe, born in a manger. And those who would be the first heralds of the gospel of the kingdom of God were not the mighty rulers in palaces. They were not the rich. They were three wise men who were foreigners and just a bunch of poor shepherds. The unlikeliest of stories unfolds. This story gives us some insights on the Advent, some insights of how God comes to earth. And this story is about a few things. It's about revelation. It's about adoration. It's about investigation. And it's about proclamation. Number one, this story teaches us a lesson about revelation. There in verses 9 to 12, we find God revealing himself through the angels and through the host of heaven to these shepherds. God there discloses to them a master plan of salvation, the blueprint of what he's going to do. But my question is, why does God approach shepherds? You know, despite David being known as a shepherd king, despite Psalm 23 being one of the most wonderful passages in the Bibles that we frame and put into our bathrooms, perhaps even though Jesus was known as the good shepherd, I need you to know that within the social strata of Jewish life and thought, the shepherd was on the low. A shepherd was not highly esteemed in society. A shepherd did not have influence over others. A shepherd was considered a lowly form of life. They lived isolated from the rest of communities. Thus, the idea that there could be a good shepherd is a paradox to Jewish life. There's a good shepherd? How? None of them are good. Who wants to be a shepherd? And yet Jesus, the story of his coming is shared with those isolated from the rest of society, those in the fields, those in the lower parts of our social classes. There God discloses to them the master plan of salvation. This story teaches us that God is not looking for the CEO. God is not looking for the wealthy. He's not looking for those with good reputation and highly esteemed in society. God reveals himself and makes himself known to whoever needs to know. Amen? Perhaps God today would reveal himself. If Jesus' coming were to be today in 2019, perhaps the janitor would be the first to know of his coming. Perhaps the undocumented immigrant working in the fields of the United States of America, perhaps they would be the first to hear the news of Jesus' coming. Perhaps the lowest of the low, the homeless, those on the margins, perhaps God will disclose this information with them. The Bible says, Psalms chapter 149, verse 4, "For the Lord takes delight in his people, and he crowns the humble with salvation." Paul puts it this way, "God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." God, in his wisdom, in his might, in his power, overlooks reputation, overlooks social esteem, and he looks for those who need to hear the news of salvation. That's why in the story you find in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 that the story of salvation, that joy would go out for all people. And here's the good news about the Advent. Revelation is not reserved for highly esteemed or highly trained people. God shows up at ordinary times, in ordinary places, with extraordinary news to ordinary people. So perhaps this morning you've come into this space with insecurities about your own life, insecurities about where you're at, what your bank account looks like, what kind of car you drive, how you show up to church, if I'm good enough. God makes himself known to all people. That is what Advent is about. But it's not just about revelation. This story gives us a lesson about adoration. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" You see, this is a celebration of Jesus' coming onto the earth. But this is almost of a premature party. God has not yet saved humanity completely on the cross. Jesus has just shown up. Yet there is a party occurring on heaven and on earth in this scene. There in the middle, there in the waiting period, God has commenced this celebration, this party, this scene of adoration there in front of the shepherds. Advent is about praise. It's about worship. There before salvation is completed on the cross, there, even there, they worship. I'm reminded of a very special song to me by Hillsong United, "Waiting Here for You with Our Hands Lifted High." Not in desperation, not in anxiety, not with attitude, in praise. There in the middle period is opportunity to praise. There, while in the waiting, there is worship. You see, C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, in his book, Reflections on the Psalms, he puts it this way, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed." The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. So there, as the angels are telling the shepherds what is to come, they get so excited. They are filled with such emotion. They decide to start praising there. It is incomplete until it is fully expressed. So the idea is this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's how Psalms puts it. Anything beautiful, anything worthwhile, an idea, a sunset, a blooming flower, the laugh of a child, anything that gives us a sense of awe, wonder, and praise, the delight in salvation is fully enjoyed when it is expressed. The idea is this. Simply put, beauty requires response. Beauty requires response. And there, in front of the most beautiful message ever told, the story of the Messiah liberating his people from sin, saving them, preparing them for the next world. There, the angels, fully enjoying the moment, decide we need to respond to this story in praise. Advent is about worship. This season, this time in our lives is about praise. How can you, as a church, as families, as individuals, experience worship in a different and new way? Beauty, as we contemplate God's coming into this world, this beautiful story of salvation, beauty requires response. So what are some ways that you can become saturated with worship in this season? It's not just about coming and worshiping on Sabbath. Kudos to you. You did it. What about the rest of the week? What about Sunday? What about when someone cuts you off on the parkway or on the turnpike? What about then? What about when your kid gives you a little bit of attitude talking back? What about then? Worship. It's about worship. But it's not just about revelation and adoration. It is about investigation. The Bible says in Luke 2 there, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You see, the shepherds were not satisfied with just hearing the news. The shepherds were not satisfied with the disclosure. They needed to see for themselves. So there the Bible tells us that they went and they looked for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. The Bible talks about those who pursue God. This is how Psalms puts it. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek after God. John says, chapter 17, verse 3, now this is eternal life. This is it. Listen up. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Acts puts it this way, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Advent is about seeking a deeper and more meaningful experience with God. So families, what does this look like in your home? What does this look like in real life? Let me bring it a little bit closer to home. How often are you having devotion with your children? How often are you going into Scripture and seeking God's faith with your kids? How often are you looking for His presence? Advent is not just about the nice songs, the cozy sweaters, and the gifts under the tree. It is about seeking a deeper and more meaningful experience with God. The shepherds just receive news. In the world of the Jews and the Roman society, information like this is only reserved for the highest of people, the highly esteemed, the CEO. Yet God discloses and reveals himself to them and gives this information. Everyone who would hear this would feel so satisfied with the news because it meant that they're now a part of the inner circle. It meant that now they are exalted and elevated in society, satisfying their very desires and cravings of being recognized as equals with those who are above them. But this is not the experience that the shepherds have. They are not just satisfied with being recognized as worthy to hear the news. They are satisfied only until they see Jesus there in the manger, until they lay eyes on the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Advent is about seeking a deeper, more meaningful experience with God, seeking his presence, becoming fully aware constantly of God's presence in our lives. But Advent is also about proclamation. Our story says in verses 17 to 20, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." A Christian's life is not about hoarding the treasure we find in salvation. It is not about keeping all the information that we receive when we come to church, the doctrines that we read inside the Bible. The information that we have is to be shared with others. That is what Advent is all about. Notice what these shepherds do. They see, and as they see, they go and they tell everyone they can find. You see, secular culture tells us that the holiday season, this time of year, is about getting more, acquiring all that we can get. Hello, Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all right. I'm not going to knock you for that. But secular culture tells us that we are to get more. But here is the great reversal of the gospel. It's not about getting more. In fact, the gospel is about becoming less. Jesus, God, coming down as man. Advent is about sharing all that we have. Sharing all that we have. If you are blessed with material things, amen. Advent season is about making space at the table for others who don't have it. Advent season is about remembering those who are less fortunate, those who are living on the margins, those who we would overlook naturally because we're all only human. It is about remembering those who need to hear and know the gospel in a new light. The Bible tells us that these shepherds went out telling everyone what they had heard. I asked a question, what happened to the sheep? What happened to the sheep they were taking care of? Perhaps they found someone else to do that for them, but we know that they left what they were doing. They left their livelihood just to share the news. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the age. Christ's promise is this: I will be with you so long as you go. If you go, I will go with you. So Advent is about sharing the gospel with those who are in need, with those who need to know, who need to experience this wonderful news of salvation. The news that Jesus does not love based on social status. That Jesus does not disclose himself, make himself known only to the rich and the mighty, but also to the less fortunate and to those who are disregarded by society. The gospel is about praising God, experiencing him in a new way. It's about seeking his face in a more meaningful and deeper way. It is about sharing all that we have with others, because Jesus shared all that he has with us. I pray that this will be your experience this Advent season. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for that great sacrifice you made, leaving heaven, setting aside your divinity so that we might be partakers in eternity. Lord, we are so grateful. We can't express how much gratitude we have. So, Lord, we pray that our lives can be dedicated to you in a different way this season. Perhaps in times past, Lord, we've overlooked those who are in need. Father, we pray that we can not just know you deeper, see you clearer, Father. We pray that we can help those who don't know you and share the good news of salvation, the beauty of the gospel, with those who need to hear it the most. So, Father, we're so thankful once again. Bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to sing our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, number 462.